All right, we are at staff report. Start with Christina. Okay, Jim?
No, I think you heard.
You don't want more time?
You don't want to talk anymore, huh?
No, I mean, staff put a lot of time into it, making sure, and we, I mean, they checked thousands of records, and, you know, it's like Dr. McDonald mentioned, you know, after you go, as well as, you know, on Jerry, is go through all of these records, and we started with a large group, it filtered down, we, you know, from zeroed in on 400 transactions, and from the 400, it came down, like I said, just to a couple, you know, a couple handfuls, which was good news. It's still, it's good news that it was small, but we don't accept anything, you know, there shouldn't be any.
A couple of other thoughts, if I could ask about it. I have no desire to reopen item number 8, but one of the things that occurs to me, or at least a question to ask, is whether or not there were training issues involved here. I'm not looking for someone to blame, but are there data entry errors, and not just keystroking errors, but in terms of someone didn't understand what date they should be picking? Is that, are we satisfied that that's not an ongoing issue on training? Are there one or more people that may, in fact, not exactly understand what the protocol is?
I'm satisfied that this wouldn't occur today. And that if we, if and when, it's more of a when than if, we do convert to a different pension administration system, mm-hmm. there will be a number of protocols that happen and a number of things that occur so that we're not having these types of discussions going forward.
Okay. And secondly, we may be revisiting this policy anyway in the wake of further discussions about the administrative fund. But I'm a little concerned that we may not have necessarily followed the administrative steps that we've outlined within our own policy, which is only about 18 months old. And I call, like, for instance, it says in here that individuals that have over a $5,000 amount, I mean, this happens to be our policy, will be given a call in advance of the letter going out, asking if they want to come in and discuss it. Yeah. Were these individuals, these 10 individuals, given those calls?
Calls, in most cases, calls were placed. I think the wording in the policy is attempt to call.
Okay, but
if calls were placed, and there is a log of the phone calls that took place, and if we had a good phone number, the person was available, it did take place ahead of time.
So did anyone take you up on the opportunity to come in and discuss it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Ken Sandy came in.
In advance of the letters going, I mean,
absolutely.
Consistent with what we're saying in our policy.
Yeah,
okay.
Mr. Sandy
right.
came in, I think, 3 times, and I probably had half a dozen phone calls with him once he, you know, he broke his leg.
And this.
Yeah. Well, that real nice. You, never mind. So I just want to make sure that we're following the policies. We go through, the staff goes through a lot of effort to put these policies together, and I just want to make sure that at some point we don't get dinged on the fact that we're not following our own policy. We forget a step. That it needs to be evergreen, it needs to be accessed on a regular basis to make sure we're going through all the steps that we outline.
It is difficult to have cases over, you know, phone numbers, and it's only as good as the information we have on.
And it now even makes me wonder whether or not, I mean, 5,000 was totally arbitrary, but if it was someone that was, you know, $4,252, why are they not?
5,000 is in the Internal Revenue Code, by the way, as a discretionary lump sum payment on a defined benefit plan, so there is some at least overlap for that.
And personally, we didn't follow, if we would have gone, if somebody was at $3,000,
okay,
we would have reached out to them.
Okay,
there was no, we figured it was that important to make personal contact.
Then I'm wondering again whether or not we even want that limit in there. Why, if there's any instance of someone that owes us, we think, owes the plan $500 or $700, why do we have that dollar limit in there? Just because it's consistent with the IRS regulation or code? Or why?
It's just practical. I can tell you, that policy, Harvey and I helped another system develop that policy. We used a lot of what we did with that other system here, made some changes pursuant to what the board wanted. And we just it came from that other system CEO. He faced some very angry members, and he said that I don't want to deal with that again. I want to make sure that there's a more personal touch, that the first thing they get is a phone call rather than a letter.
Yeah, well, I'm asking whether or not that personal touch somehow kicks in at 5, or we're no longer we're not as concerned about the personal touch if it's only $4,999. I mean, why is there a dollar limit in there at all?
Judgment call. Yeah.
Sure. But having a de minimis amount seems to me to make sense just practically. So is $5,000 the right de minimis amount? This is really, I think, your question.
Yeah. I'm just saying someone might consider it impersonal to send a letter for $1,000 and say you owe us the grant.
I think we can revisit the policy.
Yeah, it's just we may want to do that anyway.
I think it's part of that process.
Right.
Maybe
when
it comes back, I think that's an excellent discussion point.
Okay.
Henry.
On a positive note, we're talking about some recruitments at a couple meetings past, and I'm happy to report that an internal candidate was selected as a county supervisor. Her name is Lori Epstein, and she has about 5-6 years of audit and accounting experience. And she's busy tending to work now, otherwise I would have brought her to bring her in to introduce you.
Know that person.
Everybody. She used to work at the county. She used to be an internal auditor there. And so it strengthens our team, so I'm happy to report that.
Good. Great.
And she's aware that she loses her vacation time that she accrued from the
She took it, Gary.
And we called her. We didn't.
She was hired at the
it was a selling point.
Over, so it came
I was just throwing that side note in there, a little dig.
Probably it's your turn to follow up.
If you have seen it on the website, the RFP to audit the pension administration systems, subledger and CPAS was issued on Monday. Final responses are due November 14th, so we're hoping we get a good response so we can address some of the concerns that we've.
I was going to say, it seems to be timely.
Yes.
Is our regular audit firm one of the requestees for an RFP?
Yes, actually, Brown Armstrong did respond with an email just preliminary on Tuesday.
Okay. Tim?
My staff is just busy working through the private markets respondents and evaluating those. We're conducting on sites. We're about halfway through that process. So expect to have a recommendation back from us somewhere in the December time frame there. But we're busy working through that.
Gail.
Yes. So I did want to report that there has been a number of cross-training activities occurring at CSERA, as well as improving written documentation to make sure that all processes and procedures are up to date and current, and that we have them for all of our relevant, all of our processes. So that's been an ongoing project since I've been here, and we hope to have that wrapped up sometime in the first quarter of next year, first or second quarter. So that'll better position us as an organization so that we're able to function in a better, more thoughtful manner.
Good.
So I did want to report that.
Any update on the recruiting effort for deputy CEO at this point?
Yeah, so recently, the week of the middle of September, there was a whole new posting of ads. We use an external recruiter for that position, and they we tweaked the job announcement. We shortened it somewhat, and we've done a whole new ad blast to try and develop a new pool of candidates for that position. But it is an ongoing recruitment that we're very excited about filling. Me in particular.
I assume so. Yeah, you've been without for over a year and a half.
And then we do have an active executive assistant recruitment. We're in the middle of interviews on, as well as deputy general counsel to assist Karen Levy on.
Okay. Jeff, normally Harvey gets a moment here. Anything as outside professional you want to share?
I don't think so. Harvey's already told you about the Marin case.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's the big news recently.
Yeah.
No, that would be the only
thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did Harvey tell you where his favorite board? Did he mention that?
Uh-huh. Every day.
Trustees.
Just want to thank Candace for talking at the CSERA conference, which is coming up next week. And if you haven't already been aware, all of you are invited. It's right at the Hilton, no, the
Embassy Suites.
Embassy Suites in Walnut Creek. And we've got three good speakers. Candace is starting us off. Gail's coming a little later that day. And then Harvey is going to be coming, which we will probably be posting a lot of stuff on the Marin decision with him. And so it's going to be a good conference, and it'll be good to just come and sit for at least the part of the first day to get a flavor of what's going on with retirees throughout the state and what they're kind of interested in.
Excellent. Zachers, any update?
Okay.
What's the date?
Go ahead, Luke.
CalPERS Roundtable, me and Dave were down there, 2 weeks ago? We discussed in length, it was interesting, the roundtable part of it, about disabilities, how
October
everybody does disabilities differently.
Yeah.
So Dan McAllister, who's on the board, is talking about putting on a session for trustees in the near future dealing with disabilities and finding out how everybody does it to try to get everybody in the same page on how it's done. They had a session on governance, how they explain stuff to new trustees and what you should do, how it works, what they should be doing. And then also the plant staff, LA, who was LA Police and Fire were there, and he was explaining how they deal with new trustees. And basically they give them 10 one-hour sessions going from everything from who they are, benefits, disabilities. He says he sees that it's helpful for the appointed people, because the appointed people really don't know much about the system. And he says it really helps the members also. They know about the system, but it clarifies a lot of stuff for them. Gail spoke, but I had to leave, so I don't know what happened.
I'm glad you finished that seven, so they don't know much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Any Zachers update?
No, things are going smooth. We obviously got the election night, so we're excited about that. We're going to have a bunch of TVs up in a room for Tuesday night, so after any functions, everybody can go there and kind of watch the results. We'll have it going up until the end of probably midnight or so.
Oh, that's right. Gabe's vice president of Zachers, huh?
Go ahead, Jerry.
Is the Coons report coming out this time?
Yeah, and we actually have a very good
moderator. Would you grab me a hard copy of that, please?
I'll talk to the moderator, Gail Stroll.
Yeah.
I'll talk to her about it.
Ask if she can bring me back a hard copy.
On the Coons report?
Funny, and then the next day we've got Forrest Sawyer and Alex Wallace. She was a producer for NBC, so we have them be able to kind of recap the election. And then we have a very good group. Betty Yee is going to be on this diversification panel, so we've got some good stuff going.
Billy Bush is available if you're looking. Another panelist.
He's updating his resume as we speak.
Yeah, I'm changing his last name.
Yeah.
He'd be willing to come out of a bus for you.
Yeah, he's a
relation. He's good on bus rides.
He's a grandson.
The only bad news we have is the bocce ball tournament just got canceled about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, sorry.
The commission isn't showing up, I heard.
No, I'm not. I didn't know there was nobody contacted me and said they wanted to.
I made that up just now.
No. Basketball,
you know,
and Jerry,
we've got
please.
The champions on this board. This board has been the champion two times in a row.
Yeah, we won last time.
Northern California anyway, right?
Yeah.
We'll do it
at Napa.
I attended the DMA on-site with Jeff and the Insight with Tim. Extremely educational. I have a lot better understanding of what their roles are now. I mean, it's a complete... The good thing, too, is like Tim and I would talk, and Chi-Chi, I rode in the cab with him, and Gail and I had a lot of conversations. But the more I go to these things, the more I learn, the better I understand what their roles are and how we're going forward. So appreciate all that. That's it.
Okay. Anyone further?
One item? I just wanted to acknowledge the recent passing of John T. Nedgedly.
Yeah, that was sad.
I knew John most of his life. I met him as a kid when I used to work for his father, and he died at a very young age, 52.
Yeah.
Longtime community college district trustee, so just wanted to acknowledge his passing, and maybe we can adjourn in his memory.
Yeah,
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn in the memory of John T. Nijin? So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
We made it. I'll make my meeting. Thank you.
That's why we're here, Jerry. Go back to your schedule.